Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Beauty Pop Podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Jen.
And we have a really special guest this week. I am so excited to welcome best-selling author, all-around badass, Adriana Trigiani. And she's literally, like, I read a Wikipedia fact about you that you write a book every year for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know. Here's the other thing, though. And she's launching a brand new podcast. So she's filmmaker, TV writer. Jen, you have to talk to her about The Cosby Show. She was a writer on The Cosby Show, and you know Mr. Cosby.
I welcomed Bill Cosby to lay in my lap, Adriana.
This is before Jen knew anything.
This is before I knew anything.
Well, listen, I wasn't there for that, so I don't know what happened.
He was, hey, look, you know what? All I can tell you is my experience with him. He was amazingly nice, very kind. I didn't feel threatened, even though he was literally laying down in my lap having a conversation with me. But I didn't feel threatened at all. So
okay, so that's a little inappropriate. But here, can I just say this? He was the best boss I ever had.
See? Yeah, I don't have anything negative to say. Not a word.
I am, you know, listen, but I'm a woman, and I'm a mother, and I'm bereft for the women.
Yeah, obviously. So that was just a little connection. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, Jen will have something to say about that. So also, I just mentioned this to my husband, Lewis, the other day, who produces Adriana's brand new podcast, which we want to talk about. That is called You Are What You Read.
Yes.
Fantastic name. And I know there's a subtitle about like the books,
that built my soul.
I mean, even better.
I love
it. Like, right? Like, amazing. Obviously, a writer came up with that title. So after all of these things that you've accomplished, what made you now want to be a podcast host?
Well, you know, I'm a believer in that you get into businesses that A, you understand, and B, you're passionate about. And for, you know, 23 years, I've been traveling the country meeting these authors, these great authors. And, you know, let's just say I get hit by a bus tomorrow. Well, isn't that sad that I didn't share what I know, who I met, the conversations we had? So the podcast was very organic. Now, I'm going to take you back to Big Stone Gap, Virginia, or if I should say Norton, Virginia, where WNVA radio was. When I was 15 years old, I was a news reporter there.
Oh, wow.
And in my delusional mind, I wanted to grow up to do that. However, I kept getting in trouble because I would, not embellish the stories, but dramatize them. And I kept getting calling in and I was getting yelled at, and I was getting $5 a story. And, you know, I wanted to make some money, so I'd do as many stories as I could a week. But I loved recording it and I loved all of that. So this is, I believe, Victoria and Jen, that life is a process of going back to the things where you started that excited you and ignited you and made your mouth water.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And just the way you describe that makes my mouth water.
Well, when our bodies change, we're ruined. I'm sorry. I have a daughter. I never said it to her. I'm going to say it to you girls because honestly, it's the truth. When you get that first period, it's like, okay, throw me off a bridge. When I read in that little booklet that you could be 50 before it ends, I was like, 50? It seemed like a million years. And now that I've passed 50, I'm going to tell you something, the secret that no woman would tell you. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So before you have children, if you want them, if you don't want children, whatever you want to do, you can do. But I'm going to tell you that's the big lie propagated about women, is that we diminish, but we get bigger and bigger and bigger when we're doing what we love to do.
You know, a lot of women, famous women, have said that they're happy that they had success after 40. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of, you know, writers, mm-hmm. comedians, actors, you name it. Do you feel like it kind of seems like there's a little, and you've been successful for a long time. So it's not like you just turned 40 and then all of a sudden you were a baller. You've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does, it is interesting that a lot of women, like 50 is the new 35 or whatever, right? Like it kind of changes every year.
Well, you know, it's, my mother said, as my mother said, 86 is the new 87. You know, at a certain point, you know, at a certain point, it's all the same.
Changes.
But it's our attitude about aging, I think.
Well, look at Jane Fonda, right?
Yeah, I mean,
she's right, like,
of course,
my hero.
Well, she's kind of the gold standard, right?
Yeah.
In terms
yeah.
of how you can look like yourself when you're older. But there's nothing wrong with turning into Mrs. Santa Claus. Why who cares?
Hey, if you love it, though. You know, what yeah. I love about getting older is the layers start to develop. You know, everything when you're young, it's just about quick. For me, it's always about getting to the next spot. But at some point you start to, it's almost, I like to think of it as like a geode because I like sparkly things. But like you develop these layers that you still in your heart feel like you're 15 or 16 or forgetting
right.
a class in high school. But yet you have so much more that you can offer. I mean, there's just so many more things that come to you with time. But I have to ask you, because you are speaking my language, you're talking about being ignited and about passions. I'm all about people living their passion because that's what it makes you feel like you
it's
never
all you
were.
Got. It's all so you got.
If I asked you, and I'm asking you, Adriana, mm-hmm. what ignites you right now? What is it? What is something that you're passionate about?
Well, I'm going to be really honest with you.
Yeah.
The last thing that ignited me is I had a meeting with my agent, who I love, and I was told that I'm mean and driven and too ambitious. And
is this a male or a female agent?
I'm being serious.
Yeah,
it's
is
a
it
female,
a?
It's a female agent. She didn't say that to me. Others said it to her.
Okay.
And I'm a middle child in a big Italian American family. And I went, yes, at last.
I'm
being direct and they don't like it. Well, guess what? You gotta be made of something to make it. And I mean, you got to be made of something. And you have to look at the cues that come your way. See, lucky things happen or blessed things happen, whatever word you want to use. You got to own those things. Because if you don't own them, you're not going to understand your journey. And so when that was said to me, I went, yes, this BS of not being in offices, this BS of not being in a group and working through problems, this BS about you can't say this to that one or that to this one. How is that collaboration? How's that creativity?
It's not.
As a director, I pull it. The reason actors like working with me is it's a collaboration. So when I'm passionate, I'm not doing it to get anybody upset or you got to take your fuzzy slippers off on the Zoom and pay attention. You know, and by the way, this was said by someone I know. I can't picture this person. So I was like, okay, well, I can't picture him, but thank duly noted.
Yeah.
Then I rolled my eyes.
Jen and I used to co-host a morning show together for 6 years, a radio show. Mm-hmm. And that's how we met. And we were called strident, I believe was the word, a lot.
I've gotten that a few times.
More than a few times, yeah.
I don't see anything strident about either of you. So that means, you know what strident means to them is that you, look.
This was obviously a male said that.
Well, of course, but I'm going to say this about men. Listen, it's really simple, ladies, and I'm teaching my kid this, but I try to teach anyone that wants to hear this little lesson because I figured it out. They just want to win. And if you're in the way, they're going to win. And women are like, what did he say? And now we're chewing on it. Don't chew on it. Just go, I'm going to figure out how to win. That's what drives me. That's what ignites me.
I think it just means we have an opinion. I think you're right.
Yeah, It's bigger than that. They want your money. Listen, you know how many times a man comes up to me and brags about how much he's getting paid? I wish I had more fingers. Thousands of times. It's thousands of times. And I would never do that because it's uncouth and it's immaterial.
Yeah.
A woman doesn't care about that because she's got bigger things on her mind. Okay?
Yeah, that's true. I feel like anytime you hear someone, you know, counting someone else's money, it's not a woman.
And also money is not, that can't be your guide.
No.
Because I want to burn up every penny before I leave before I take my dirt nap. I don't want leaving. But like this new thing with all these billionaires and stuff, it's like, my thing is, how many people can I hire? How many people can I train? How many interns can we have? How many times can I get up in front of a group and go, Victoria, Jen, I want you to have my job. Now, you could say the same to me because you're doing this job, but who wants my job?
Yeah.
I am going to teach you how to do it if you want to listen. If you don't, you don't. So whatever. But it's very, very important.
I've only found I've had that attitude only come from female bosses, by the way. I've had wonderful
and
male
men
bosses.
Men have been really good to me, too. I've had women doozies, and I've had some men doozies.
I've had some wonderful... I'm not a male basher by any means. I'm in radio because of three or four specific men who just kept believing in me and pushing me.
I
have nothing against that. But when it comes to the attitude of, I want you to know everything that I know, so this is the New Yorker in us. If we get hit by a bus tomorrow, we love to say that. If we get hit by a bus tomorrow, you can sit in my seat and you know everything.
Well, there you go.
But I haven't gotten that from guys. That comes from women.
What are we here for? Can I tell you something? Just happened to me a week ago. I do this project down in Virginia, the Origin Project, that I co-founded with a friend of mine. I was an office temp, $6 an hour, okay, when I got out of college. I was worth every penny. Every penny of $6 an hour. I stunk. Anyway, years later, I'm making the Big Stone Gap movie, and my friend, who, Nancy Bollmeyer Fisher, who became a philanthropist, I called her. I said, listen, I got an idea down here. I want to kind of leave a footprint. Appalachians are maligned. We're called hillbillies and things, and I'm an Italian-American, as you know, and I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of my Appalachian roots, and I'm proud of my Italian roots, and I said, I have an idea for a project. And so what we created was the Origin Project, which means we go into a classroom, we teach the kids to write a story about their roots, about their origins, which are fascinating, right? And it spread across the state. We started with 40 kids 10 years ago. We have 2,700.
Awesome.
Last week, her husband called me and said, sit down. She died.
Ugh.
And she was young. She suddenly died.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I am too. It's horrible. But I tell you this because that woman, no moss grew under her feet.
Yeah.
People are sending me notes in anticipation of this thing we're doing in October. And I thought, who writes notes before? I mean, I write them after if I do it, right? And when I'm in transit, it was all lined up. She was fierce, but she's also loving and compassionate and loved kids and had a son and a nice husband. And they all were in love with each other. It was great. But my point in telling you this is that rattles you because you go, uh-oh.
Can happen anytime. Every day that we get up is a new chance. I mean, the fact that
it
you
is,
get a
but
new
then,
morning.
Then there's the mass of manly lives of quiet desperation that Henry David Thoreau talked about, who are the people that just seem to live to be 100 in order. Now, and if you live to be 100,
it's an achievement.
But they're not, yeah. So, I mean, I just look at things. I try to stay in the moment, and but I am very, very, very underlined ambitious.
I love that.
As you are, ladies, as
now,
you are.
Let me ask you this, because You Are What You Read, that's a new podcast that you're doing. And when I first started thinking about it, I'm like, this is so great, because it's kind of like you're like the book medium. Like, what do we know? What is it, what you read or what you like to read or brings you enjoyment? What does that say about you as a person?
Yes.
And I started thinking back when I was a little kid. And so my question, I think, and I want Victoria's answer too, and Adriana, you start.
Okay.
When you were a kid, what was the book that sticks out the most to you as a child? Because that's when that's when my love of reading started, was when I was a kid. So was there a book that just sticks out for you?
Well, I have the shelf over here because
I love
it. You Are What You Read, I have everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably formative. There are many. Harriet the Spy by Louise Fitzhugh.
Love it.
Okay.
I love it.
I would also tell you The Shoemaker and the Elves.
Okay.
And that was Hilda. Hey, Andrea, I'm just asking her to get so I could show it. Well, nobody can see this. This is a podcast, right?
Well, it's going to be video too, but you know, hey.
Okay, well, we'll do both. But I have them here. And then Heidi was a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grandfather in the Alps with cheese. You know, she just drank milk, fresh milk, and ate cheese. Really a great diet for bone building.
So, you know, what age range are we talking here? Like what age?
I'm starting with really little.
Yeah.
I mean, The Shoemaker
That's
and the Elves, I was
of.
A teeny
yeah.
weeny one. And I said to my sisters, remember, we had this and I found it in a yard sale and they went crazy. And I just took pictures of the shoes in it. And honest, I swear to you, I have tried to, it was embedded so deeply in me. I looked and stared at that book so much that I have every pair of shoes that's in there, like pink velvet ones and this one and that one. But I'm informed by this, this lady's illustrations. The most important part of this, though, is not the shoes. The Shoemakers and the Elves is the story of a man, a shoemaker, who's poor, and he has one piece of leather left, and he has to tell his wife, we're broke, and we're going to have to leave. And he leaves the leather out, and he kind of goes inward, and he says, okay, tomorrow I'm going to make a pair of shoes. And he goes to sleep, and when he's asleep, these elves come in, and they make a gorgeous pair of shoes. He puts them in the window and he sells them. He buys more leather. Listen what this story is. He buys more leather and he makes a pair of shoes. And he leaves it out for them. They make more. Soon, he's a machine. I believe in the power of your subconscious mind to create you. So if you set a goal and you insist on that goal, you'll make it. And you work when you sleep. It wasn't there was a magical elf. It was all within the shoemaker. Mm-hmm. And that's what writing is. I make all my decisions when I sleep.
Love it.
Is part of your process, do you wake up in the middle of the night and like take notes or dictate or?
Well, sometimes those are weird. But sometimes I'll be lying there and going, oh my gosh, that is the best joke I ever wrote. And I will get up and write it down like with lipstick on the mirror, like so I don't forget it. I for a writer, I always have a stack of pens in the wrong room. You know what I mean? So I'll jot it down. Some of those things go directly into a book and are never edited. And some of those things are gobbledygook.
Well, yeah. And so, Jen, to answer your question, Jen's mom was a teacher. And I'm assuming, Jen, you probably had a lot of books in your life when you were little. God.
So just to tell you now, in retirement, I laugh at my mom because I love to read. I run out of time to actually spend as much. My mom reads at least 2 to 3 books a week. I mean, she flies through.
Same
She's
with
a
my
voracious
mom.
Reader. She loves it. And when I was growing up, I have very beautiful memories of my mom and I laying there and reading at night. And I remember when I was in first grade, I was so excited to go to school. That changed real fast, by the way. About fourth grade, I'm like, get me the hell out of here. But in first grade, I was super excited. And I got my first reader, my English textbook. Do you know I had the whole thing read the first couple days of school because I was so excited to have it. I read through it and I remember it was called Sun Up or something. And I dropped it in front of my mom and I was like, okay, I read this. And she looked at me like, what? I said, well, you taught me to. I love to read. But my book and then to you, but my books that I totally remember, obviously the fun ones, the Berenstain Bears and Amelia Bedelia and the Golden Books, all that fun.
I loved Amelia Bedelia.
They were my friend's next door neighbors, and she has the most amazing collection of hand signed Berenstain Bear stuff. I know.
Okay, those are valuable. But you know what I loved? Mrs. Piggle Wiggle.
I don't know that one.
The illustrations, it's Betty McDonald wrote them. And the illustrations were by Hillary Knight. And when my daughter Lucia was 3, she's now 21, but when she was 3 years old, we schlepped to the plaza because he was signing things.
Oh.
And we brought everything. And then my friend Amy Bell, she gave him a bunch to give to my daughter. But Eloise, he did Eloise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You know exactly who he is.
Oh, that would be one of my favorites.
And that's awesome. That is totally on brand for you. Yes. I love that.
Yep. Can I tell you, God bless him, he was the most impatient man with little kids. Oh. I mean, it was with that day. Maybe he gets to eat his lunch or something.
Didn't Dr. Seuss hate kids too? I don't think Hillary hates him,
but I think he's such an exacting just artist. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. But, so my very, very favorite though were the Little House on the Prairie books.
I love those.
Read all of them. I have no idea why. I'm a girl from Los
Angeles.
Those
books depress the crap.
No, they were amazing. It was about resilience, self-reliance.
And no plumbing. No indoor plumbing. I can't.
I loved it.
Do you girls remember, I remember this vividly from Laura Ingalls Wilder in The Little House on the Prairie, that one night Half Point went to sleep and a mouse chewed her hair.
Oh, no, but you know what I do remember that still scars me? What? Is that they were playing, they killed a pig and they made a balloon out of the pig's bladder and they were playing with it in the yard. And you have these little punk kids, upset because they don't have a Polly Pocket. Those people were playing with pig bladders. But it was amazing.
Yeah, no, hard pass on all that. No. Couldn't do the TV show. Couldn't do the book. No.
I liked the TV show because I thought Michael Landon, even though I was a kid, I thought he was handsome.
He was pretty tasty with those suspenders.
I'm telling you.
Bring it on, Paul. Let's go.
And also, he made you cry every episode. It was a tearjerker. Yeah.
He was the man that we all dream of, right? He was strong. He was rugged.
A good head of hair.
He could save your butt. But man, he had great hair. He was always tan. Great build. And then he could cry with you at the end of the day. I mean, it's perfect.
He's slaughtering a baby lamb, sure.
You're too young for the Waltons, but did you watch it in repeats?
Oh, good night.
No,
John
that depressed
Boy.
Me too. I was like, what is this?
It was a big family in the Depression of seven children in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And my family was in the 70s and the 80s. Same thing. Depressed.
I love
it. Well, we weren't depressed in particular, but I loved watching a show that took place where I lived.
Sure. Yeah.
Is there a book that someone could tell you that they've read where you automatically dislike them as a human being if they like it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. If someone's like, oh my God, my favorite book ever is.
You know, I was from the beginning very judgmental about romances, like the Harlequin books. I never read
with
them.
The Fabio. Come on. Give me a Nora Roberts.
And my
Let's
sister,
go.
I have a sister, Pia, that she was so in love with the men in those books. She said, just read it. But my sister grew up to be a lawyer. And I think serious academic people sometimes need escape. So
yes.
I don't even judge that anymore. I'm like, okay, fine. That's fine.
My mom, going back to her for a second, because she was a teacher, she's got her master's degree in Shakespearean studies. She's wrote Cliff Notes. She wrote two books of Cliff Notes. She
Which
would
I
buy the star.
Bought.
I'm sorry.
I fully admit, I probably bought your mom's Cliff Notes.
Well, she wrote the new books. So I think we might have been out of school because I had graduated high school by the time hers came out. They're big Cliff Notes now. They're not the little tiny ones with all this commentary. And so she did two. Point is, she's very smart.
Yes.
Every week at the grocery store, she would buy the National Enquirer and the Star magazine.
Same
and I would
with
always,
my mom. My
and
our
I
moms need
laugh.
To get together.
Yeah. She said, it's like junk food for my brain. I need a break. And so I think people sometimes just read crap because they need an escape.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And just to see, let other people have some problems.
Yeah.
You know, there's a podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, with this super uber successful Glennon Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to call my podcast, I Can't Do One More Hard Thing. I just can't.
I gotta say though, you are what you read. Like I said, that is such a fantastic title. And you launch on Tuesday, October 3rd.
Tuesday, October 3rd with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker is your
so
first
cool.
guest. So I have to ask, what is the history between the two of you? I'm a big fan of SJP, and I know that she's an avid reader. So I wasn't surprised at all that she would be your first guest to talk about the books that, you know, inspire her and changed her life, maybe. Mm-hmm. But what's the connection between the two of you?
Well, all roads lead to my best friend, Michael Patrick King. So
I've interviewed him. I love him. Yeah.
Yeah. When I did Hollywood, when I was in Hollywood working, we met each other on a show called Good Sports starring Farrah Fawcett and Ryan O'Neal.
Wow.
Who I loved, both of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Little Redmond. Okay. And Bernie Brillstein produced it. Alan Zweibel remains a close friend and he created it. So I get hired to go out there. The other girl writer, Monica Johnson, who's very famous and wrote with Albert Brooks, either quit or left. I don't know what happened. But I had her desk, and Michael was across the hallway, and I just didn't meet him. But I read everything before I got there. That's my way of being prepared, like I read. So when I met him, his name is Michael Patrick King. So I said, Michael Patrick Aloysius Francis Anthony Gerard. And he had written a play called Bronze Gods. And so, all right, so we're best friends. So then this is a really funny part of the story, and I've never told this, but I was hired onto a show called Central Park West, and I was fired off of that show. And shortly thereafter, Michael, who, you know, he went through the whole firing with me and everything. I was like, oh, my goodness. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me because they had to pay off my contract, and I made a documentary film that did really well. So that was good. That's good news. So Michael said there's a job opening in New York, and his agent at the time wanted him to take it. And he came to me and he said, it's the guy that fired you. And I said, well, you have to take it because this sounds really good. So this is when I met Sarah Jessica Parker because the show was Sex in the City.
Wow. Was it Darren Star who fired you?
Yes. It was.
Okay.
And you know what? I saw him like later on in different places and he was perfectly nice, you know. And I don't think they remember when they fire you either.
No.
But it was fascinating.
Probably another number.
My friends will tell you I'm always in trouble. So, and I just always have been in trouble. So when that happened, I was really numb for about 6 hours. And then I went, what am I going to do?
But how, I mean, people will like get fired and be in depression for months.
Not me.
To pick yourself up after 6 hours and go, you know what? I'm going to do a film, and a film that worked out for you. That's pretty dang good. I mean, that's a testament.
Well, what
to
are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
I mean, right. Bad things will happen in your career or things that not to your liking, but why are you going to let that define you? Yeah. Why would you ever let anybody else define you? No, here's what I thought in my mind. Go ahead. Underestimate me. That's what I thought.
I love
it. Great.
Now, in that moment, you don't know. But I always knew, and I have a feeling I'm talking to two women that always know.
Got to make sure you trust yourself. That's for
sure. Yeah, that's right. Well, you're your best friends. Like Abraham Lincoln said, you know, at the end of the day, he'd sit down with himself and talk to his best friend who was himself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. The fact that you've mentioned a few times now that you're always in trouble. I was too, always. And I was the kid, the little girl who's like, my mom would dress me very like sort of prim and proper and preppy. And I had to eat lunch in the principal's office every day because I was beating up all the boys who were bullying my little brother. So like, everyone's like, why is this perfectly normal looking girl eating lunch in the principal's office every day? I'm like, well, it's because I'm always in trouble. But I think that might also be why one of my favorite childhood books were the Ramona Quimby books.
I love Beverly
because I like really related to Ramona.
Ramona was always in trouble. Awesome. I loved Ramona too.
Yeah. Yep. So that's funny because that reminded me when you said that. On your podcast, going back to that, so who else can we look forward to hearing from?
Oh my God.
Because you've got an amazing list.
Okay, if you like actors, Matthew McConaughey, comedians.
Oh yeah, we hate him.
Yeah, I know we hate Matthew McConaughey.
Has any woman ever said that to you?
And his wife, Camilla Alves, I love her too.
I like her less. No, I'm just kidding.
Let me tell you what. She is... Matthew calls her a mermaid, but she's so substantial as a person. Her beauty, her beauty is almost beside the point. She's brilliantly talented, smart, resplendent, and a great mother. So I very much adore her. Great people.
Stephen Wright, by the way, is my favorite comedian of all time.
Okay, then you have to. You know what?
I cannot wait to listen to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait. Jen, I don't know if you are familiar with him. He is like the deadpan delivery.
If I love an artist, I kind of really love them. And I felt myself like, oh, I love him. So it was almost sick.
Well, there's another person that's in your world that like I have, I guess, borderline sickness for.
Yes.
And that mm-hmm. is Mr. Craig Ferguson.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I am so obsessed with him. I have been obsessed forever. And he was, of all the late night guys, he is my favorite of all.
Well, Victoria and Jen, I'm going to have to introduce you. Mm-hmm. Now, he has a beautiful wife. Who cares? I mean, you know, we're all married or attached to somebody. But let me tell you about him. I understand what you're saying when I was directing him. I wanted to deliver to you what I knew you wanted from him, okay? So Kathy Lee Gifford had written the script and was starring in it. She asked me to direct it, and I had the time of my life, and one of the biggest reasons is him.
Okay, so Jen, the movie that we're talking about is called mm-hmm. Then Came You.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in 2020.
That's mm-hmm. right.
I watched it 2 days ago because it has literally been sitting in my list of things that I haven't had a chance to get to. When I found out that Adriana directed it, the main reason that I wanted to see it was because of Craig. So I'm sifting through things. I went, check, yep, put that one in because I have to see him in whatever it is. It is the cutest movie. It's
so
all set in Scotland. You must have had the most amazing time because it's
the
most
beautiful. No, I really did.
Place.
I really had a ball. I think that
Jen, you would love this movie.
I directed and wrote and directed Big Stone Gap, and that was fraught. The actors were perfection. There wasn't one actor in that movie that I'm not madly in love with. I love actors, and they know it. And they know I've got their back, and they know it. But let me tell you something. I'm going to say this as a woman, and I don't care who wants to take me on about this. But I noticed things, and it's really hard sometimes for people to support you, and they want to put you down. And I had some of those people around me, but I learned from it. I tried to have grace and push through it. And it's hard for me to look at Big Stone Gap sometimes. Not really hard for me, but because I know what I could have done had I had support. Mm. But I had some really nasty, situations there. But I pushed through it, and it's okay. What they don't understand about me is I grew up in Appalachia, so don't even come at me. You don't have the depth on the bench, baby. You do not have the depth on the bench. Yeah.
You've been through winter there, right?
I don't want it to sound like I didn't love the process of it. I loved it, and I knew I was a director when I did that. I already directed, but I hadn't done actors. I had done actors on stage, but I hadn't done actors in the movies.
Yeah.
But I love it, and I can't wait to get back out there, and I wrote a movie for Whoopi Goldberg to star in. So that's my next thing. I want to film it in Italy.
Oh.
How nice.
Wow. That sounds good.
It's a real ensemble cast, though, because that's her jam. She likes a lot of funny people around her.
And, going back to Then Came You, I didn't have any feelings really either way about Kathy Lee. I just, she's just there and whatever. I was really surprised at how much chemistry she and Craig Ferguson had.
Well, there's a scene in that movie that Reynaldo Villalobos on both of my features was my director of photography. And I'm also in love with Reynaldo, if I'm perfectly honest about that. I love him. It's a real tight relationship with your DP. It just really is. I mean, they'd have to be your sister if it was a woman or whatever, right? Anyway, there's a scene in that movie. She blew my head off. And I said, I got it. I got. And it's when he comes clean with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's up against a wall because he's mad. He's marrying somebody else and he's really angry. And, she wrote a beautiful scene there and she acted that scene so beautifully. But it's like she's great in the whole thing. She did a great job.
I didn't realize that she was a writer, and acted. I just didn't know she was a writer. That's incredible. Huh?
Yeah. I hope she keeps doing it because I said to her at one point, you could do everything yourself. You don't need me. You really don't need me. You can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so cute, Jen. You definitely have to check it out. I think you would love it.
I think you would love it because Craig Ferguson is Sir Scrumptious in it. Oh. And he is such a delicious actor to work with because he's sharp, he's funny. Stephen Wright said to me, there's nobody quicker or funnier than Craig Ferguson. And to me, Stephen Wright, he's like
that's a compliment.
He's like the Herman Melville of comics. I mean, he writes it down, he hones it, and he's a complete delight. He's also, I can tell, complicated.
Yeah. Well, most comedians are.
I love Louis Black. I love Mario Cantone.
I love Louis. Yeah.
I'm going to leave out some of my comedian friends, but I love comedians.
I think it's such a hard job because to be a good comedian, and it's very much like podcasting and radio, which is where we cut our teeth, and you have to be willing to be vulnerable with people. Otherwise, it's crap. No one buys anything you're saying unless you actually show people who you are. And I think that is the only way to be a good comedian, only way to be a really great, great host, by the way, too, because you just have to not be afraid. But I do want to just switch gears a little bit because we do beauty and you sat down and you were so excited to talk about skincare and beauty with us.
It's my highest dream to talk about this. Nobody ever asked me and I love it.
Well, I'm
well,
so
you have
excited
amazing skin, so I'm kind of surprised that you don't
first
get
of all,
that.
My skin, I wear a ski mask in the summer. I don't get any sun on my face. My mother taught me this, and my mother was a great beauty. I do not qualify. Listen, I'm not fishing. I'm just telling you. I know this mug of mine, and there's certain angles. I mean, really what sells me is my personality. However, having said that, on my grandmother Viola's deathbed, she said to me, don't touch your nose. And I said, why? And she said, it's a tent pole. It will hold everything up. And she's right. And I never touched it. So,
but you dream of plastic surgery. You did.
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm fascinated by it, but I don't want to end up looking like a lot of people look, but
yeah,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never going to do it.
Yeah.
You know how I can tell? Cause I just don't, think it's better for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus I think, okay, you're a vulnerable person. You're a strong person. I feel like there is something about having a face that as it ages, it gets character. Now, would I like to fix these bags that are starting to form under my eyes? Oh yeah. But you know
You're so beautiful. You have nothing to complain about. You're pitching the character thing. I'm going to pitch this. I think I look better now than I did when I was 20. I think I look better now than I did when I was 16. I think I look better now than I did when I was 40. And I'm just saying that that there are such great products out there. Do you want me to name them?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I want to know your routine. Like, what's your routine like?
Oh, it's big. Okay. So.
Because we're like schizo with our routine. We've got a million of them.
It's not hard. You need a great facial cleanser for starters. Okay. Something that melts everything off. Now, I have through the years used the coconut, the whipped coconut cream cleanser from Adrienne Arpels. Mm-hmm. In fact, Adrienne Arpels, she doesn't know this, but I went to Macy's and she gave me a facial once and she cured my acne.
Oh,
she used to have this you can't find it now, but it was this cleanser that had ground meal of almond in it and it smelled like dessert. And I used to just put it on it. And I used to give facials at my apartment, you know, for free to my friends and their moms because I so believed in this line of products. Okay, so you need a good cleanser. And I'm going to say this. Just make a washcloth as hot as you can. Wring it out and really exfoliate your skin, avoiding the under-eye.
So you're a washcloth believer.
But I also have gizmos and gadgets. I have them all. And when you come and visit me, Victoria and Jen, which you will, and you spend the night, I will line them up and you're going to die laughing. Because I have the plain thing that cleans out your pores. I have the little red light that used to be used, Penny Valentine. I don't think she's with us anymore, but she used to give me facials at Adrienne Arpels also. And she used all these gizmos and blue light, a thing, you know, to heal. Because if you had acne as a teenager, it's better because Penny Valentine taught me that when you have acne, you create a second structure under your skin. See, because you had pimples, there's scar tissue.
Oh.
Which is why you don't see me sag.
Oh.
Okay. And my skin, look, my skin, like it doesn't.
Because you have you've got a suspension bridge under there.
I have a suspension bridge of scar tissue from bad acne.
Wow. See, now I've always, my friends who, I didn't have bad acne in high school or, you know, when I was young. But all of my friends who did have amazing skin now because they use retinol every night.
Okay. I have.
They turn 30 and they look 20.
I can put gasoline on my face, but retinol's important. Don't overdo it. Mm-hmm. If you're young, if you're under 40, just do it every other night or on the weekends or something. You know, you'll learn your skin. But get that cleanser that you like, okay? Mm-hmm. Dr. Nassif has a great one. Anything that has hyaluronic, or is it hyaluronic? I never say this.
Hyaluronic.
Hyaluronic acid, but it's not an acid. It's like velvet. I put that everywhere. I like a product called Good Genes that's a lactic acid. It mimics retinol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just shrinks your pores. It's phenomenal. But you got to moisture. You got to moisture all this, right? I've never had Botox, but I cream like a mother.
That
was my mother. Too. My father used to do jokes about my mother. Oh, there she goes with her creams. And my mother, next one.
Mm-mm. So what's your moisturizer go-to? Are you brand loyal
I use a lot of late Elemis. Their pro collagen cream, which I think melts into your mouth and melts in your mouth. It melts on your skin. So if you put the lactic acid on, let that dry a little bit, then put on the Elemis. Let's say you do the Good Genes and then the Elemis. And then I use the roller that has the red light in it. I also just got the mask that does all the colors for your healing your skin.
Yeah.
And I recommend that highly too.
So those gadgets work for you.
those gadgets really do, but you have to use them.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's my problem. Yeah.
Now I'm going to say this too. The other thing I do regularly, and of course I did it for this podcast because I was going to see you, is I do dermaplaning.
Okay, please help me through this. So I was desperate. First of all, I just wanted to for fulfillment, see the hair and the skin that I could scrape off my face. How does it work though? Because I bought the little blade and I was trying to do it at home.
You bought the one from the 1800s. You didn't buy the one. You bought like the straight razor.
The straight razor because it skips hairs. The straight razor goes like this. I had that too because I thought, these Dermaflash is so expensive. But then I went,
Do you have? What do I not have?
I use Dermaflash, but I was taking a break. I didn't feel I was worth what it was costing me.
Okay.
But let me just tell you, the Dermaflash just came in the mail because it does work for me.
I just literally charged mine before we started recording.
Good girl, because I can tell you have such a sheen and that comes from that. So what you're getting is not just first of all, the peach fuzz prevents the serums from getting in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm going to get to that in just a second. So all right, let's just say that I'm playing my face. Do your neck, do under here. There. Anywhere you see, careful around your nose, but you do it. You do here especially because this is where the oil glands are. Mm-hmm. This is where you're going to get a lot of activity. And then here, you could just sort of see where I did it, kind of where my face. Mm-hmm. Okay, then clean face now because you've dermaflashed, you've cleansed, and you've dermaflashed, right? So I guess I did it out of order. Then you need either a retinol or my favorite thing is SkinCeuticals salicylic acid, but the ding dang jar with the dropper is $99. And I stretch that out. But you know, you can't do that. You got to use this stuff. You know, first of all, it loses its efficacy once you open it. Mm-hmm. So I wish SkinCeuticals would just send me a case and I would talk about them till the day I died. But
we'll tag them here. In case.
We'll tag them.
And then I'm going to tell you, Bobby Brown just said it, so I didn't have to, but, Augustinus Bader.
Yep.
Yeah.
Victoria's people think I'm crazy, but I paid it installments.
I'm telling you right now. It's the only, I had some Elemis to burn up and I'll keep using Elemis because it's light enough under makeup, but that Augustinus Bader is the most, that is the cream, the bomb, and it's in the pump.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you this too. I went to Bergdorf Goodman's and I was with my daughter and I said, I'm going to treat you. And I thought I was going to spend like $100 and I walked out of there and it was like a mortgage payment. And I was too embarrassed to return the stuff, but this, you know, they saw me coming because I'm a salesman and I love a salesman. And so I like to support salesmen. And in this case, two sales ladies, I think they retired after I left the building. I'm going to tell you, I tried all the serums and all the products. I just said, okay, I'm going to use them. I even have the hair products, but I haven't used them yet because this is a year ago. I got all this stuff, maybe a year and a half. And I went through that cream and I went, that I would buy again. It's the most expensive thing in their line. The serums,
Okay, that's good to know.
I wouldn't use the rest of the stuff. Their cleanser, let me tell you, Philosophy does a cleanser that has tea tree oil in it and stuff. It's as good as that Augustinus Bader is. And I'm sorry if anybody gets mad at me, but I'm just being honest.
Why would you pay that much money for something that literally gets washed off your face immediately?
Well, it's how I feel about shampoo. But people argue with me. I said, you spend money on the conditioner.
We talk about that all the time.
Conditioner, not the shampoo.
Yeah, conditioner. Yep.
And then I did an interview with Margaret Atwood, and she had a really good haircut. And I said, Margaret, who cuts your hair? And she said, I do. I said, what? Because she has hair like me, or I have hair like her. I said, what do you do? She said, I just trim nails. I ordered for $18 professional scissors. And I do it myself.
Wow.
And last time I went to get my hair colored, my colorist said, oh, what a great haircut. I said, thank you. I did it.
Wow. I'm so impressed. I'd be so scared to take
You guys, don't be scared. You just twist it and snip the ends and you're going to feel fresh.
Wow.
You'll feel fresh. It keeps the shine. See, look what it does.
That's a little.
I'm definitely afraid.
And you can part it in the back and go to the front. Yeah, maybe don't do it. But I do it because my hair is curly. Who's going to see it? Listen, you know how I learned I can cut it? I was cleaning the bathroom and I put my head in the candle and it burned all this hair off the side of my head. So I had this weird hairdo.
And not a good way to get your hair cut.
It's one way to learn, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. That's
so if
funny.
You have, let me ask you one last thing. So advice to your daughter.
Oh, I don't want to leave you.
I know.
How can we leave? This is the most fun I've ever had. Please have me back.
You're going to have to come back.
Yes.
You're going to invite myself places. Okay.
It's fine. We love that. Advice to your daughter. Number one or number two best beauty tips. What do you tell her?
I'm so proud of this. She's never had a tan.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Her bathing suits always had sleeves. She's fair. And my husband's people are fair. They're Scottish and Irish. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And they say
that's
us.
That yep. That's Jen and me.
And then, she never tanned.
That's
and everybody, and you know, I'd see my sister's kids and they're so cute and they're tanned and everything. And I'm, mm-mm. So that was one thing. She has long hair. I cut her hair because she has straight hair. It's got body, but it's straight. So I would clip the ends there. She is 21 and uses retinol.
So starting early. That's
she's going to be the person that we're all obsessed with in 20 mm-hmm. years because we're going to go, how did you do it?
And you girls are young. Start using it now because, and the other thing I'm going to say is get in the habit of this. Look, I always have stuff on my desk. I'll be working. I'll be creaming up. Just keep it right there. And you just go in there and you just take a little bit. And,
yeah.
I love that.
Right. And then the other thing I'm going to say for my daughter,
which we're all taking as your daughters, you know,
you're my daughter.
Writing
okay.
Notes.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'm going to say about it is you, at the end of a night, clean your skin.
I know. That's because, what I'm bad at.
Listen, it's hard because you know, sometimes I skip and I wake up looking pretty good.
Right. I know. That's what I like. I'm like, not so bad today.
Yeah. You're like, I can do this. And then your skin by the afternoon is like, kill me now.
I know.
Yeah.
You just feel like a lump.
Yeah.
But honestly, really, truly, it matters. And if you just wash your face with that, whatever the cleanser is, and pat it dry, keep it a little bit wet, and put that hyaluronic acid all over it, and I'll tell you whose product I love is that Dr. Nassif. Mm-hmm. It's in a gold thing. And mm-hmm. I go nuts with that. And I get it in everywhere. And it seems to be really effective.
Well, your skin looks beautiful.
Yeah, your skin's
amazing.
Well,
that's so sweet. And maybe people won't see this, but I...
Oh, no, everyone's going to see this.
They are. And I'm proudest of my neck.
Well.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah. The neck is...
Because that's the giveaway.
I'm LD and look at my neck.
That you're not old. Come on. But yeah, the neck is where you can see it first.
And the décolleté.
And the hands. Do your hands.
Yeah.
Do your hands. Like, I should have had a manicure today, but I didn't because I have people coming over. When people come, I'm cleaning. So
right.
I'm doing a manicure.
Same with me.
What's the point of that?
I'm the last minute cleaner. I'm always that way, too.
Got to shove everything in the closet.
And you shove everything in the closet, and you realize that when you use bleach, your hands go peel. Like pain.
I know.
Peel, like,
it's true.
And I'm a bleacher. Oh my God, I love you girls so much. Come
on. We love you.
Thank you so much.
We are going to come back and hang with us. I hope. And so, good luck with the podcast. How exciting.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Tuesday, October 3rd, You Are What You Read, Adriana Trigiani. You've got to check it out. And we're all part of the Gemini 13 family. So we're happy that
I love that name, Gemini 13. I feel like
I'm an Aquarius,
so I feel
like we get along.
Jane Green is with them. I love Jane Green, the author. She's with them.
She's great.
My girls, the friends of Fiction are with them. You're with them. I'm sure we're leaving out people, but
it's exciting to have you join our fam, and we're really happy, and I cannot wait to hear the fascinating, amazing conversations that you're going to have with some people who, you know, one of the things I love about the idea of what you're doing is it's not just like, oh, hey, Matt McConaughey, we know you're hot and we know you make great movies, but it's like, no, what are you reading? What feeds your mind? What influences
I mean,
you know, that's great.
Was the great joy and surprise of my life as a reader when I read Green Lights. And his children's book is magnificent. But I read Green Lights and it was transformational for me. So when I actually did get to talk to him, I've talked to him a few times on the air. But the first time, I just said, you know, his movies are magnificent. He's a magnificent actor, but he's so much more.
I can't wait to hear it. It's going to be
There's nothing
fabulous.
Wrong with being a great actor, by the way. But when you can write, too. I mean,
of course.
Are you kidding me?
Well, thank you so much. You're our new best friend. We love you.
I love you more.
Guys, go check out You Are What You Read and follow us on, actually follow you. What is your social media handle, Adriana? Are you just
at Trejani?
Okay. And that's T-R-E-J.
T-R-I-G, like Johnny Versace, like except one N. Like a tree, T-R-I and then G-I-A-N-I, Trejani. You said it perfectly.
Well, because I had to teach my Italian husband to not call you Trejani because he's been calling you that. And I go, that's wrong. It's Trejani. And so I had to teach him today.
He
so
can call me whatever he wants. He's such a magnificent, he's a great director engineer. Let me just say that.
Well, thank you. All right, guys, we will talk to you next week. Thank you so much, Adriana. We love you.
Love you.
Yeah, guys, we will talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for listening again to Beauty Pop. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram at Beauty Pop Pod. Talk to you next week.